Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, Go Away U Fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hello.
And I swear to God, probably the first time we've talked on since the Google Hangouts of old, Tom, Gopher Nation.
Hey guys, and I've done one or two of these since the Google Hangouts, but it's been a while.
Have you done it with me? I feel like... Maybe I must not have been on that.
I don't remember who was on it, but there was one where we used this platform and a handful of people were on.
Let's just be honest. We got rid of all the part-time staff because we can't afford to pay anybody anymore, and it's just the three main people here because we got nobody left, right?
Yeah, it's interesting to get back together at a time when the world is topsy-turvy, and I was going to say we don't have any sports to talk about. I think coming into planning this, I thought... maybe that would happen, and instead we actually have some Gopher news to get through before we start talking about Tiger King. If you're not watching Tiger King on Netflix, watch Tiger King on Netflix. But Daniel Oturu has officially declared for the NBA draft. Not a huge surprise, but certainly a blow to the Gophers next year. Tom, I mean, what are you thinking now that we know for sure what next year's team is going to look like up front?
Yeah, well, it's a real bummer because I thought this team would had some real potential next year with Oturu in the middle. So now there's not much in the front court, and they're going to have to figure some things out. So you just have a ton of question marks with whoever is returning. Eric Curry coming back from injury, can't expect him to be the same of what he was, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? Sam Freeman... didn't show a whole lot other than being a big physical body, but he didn't show that you can rely on his minutes next year. And you now have two scholarships and with some rumors of going after some graduate transfers, but those typically aren't going to be guys you can really count on to be major contributors to your team. So it's a huge blow losing a guy like Oturu, and especially when there seems like there's very little behind him to help pick up that slack.
Can you give me anything positive? Anything?
I think our guards are going to be really good next year. How's that?
I mean, yeah, I guess it's something.
We've seen how well that's worked for the Gopher women's team the last 2 years.
Oh, God. Yay. Thank you. I've already put your name out of my head, previous coach, before Lindsay Whalen.
I mean, ultimately, apparently we are pursuing heavily this 7-foot center who's from Scandinavia and now playing in a mid-major. I can't think of the school or the guy's name right now, but apparently he's solid. And if you get a 7-foot guy in the middle, that's going to help. He's going to play 25-plus minutes and give you some rebounds and block shots at least. And then here's my positivity for you. Is I really think Ed Conroy is a good coach at developing big men. And so give him another year and maybe things start to turn on for Freeman. Maybe you start to see a lot more from Isaiah Enan at the power forward spot. Maybe you start to even get a little bit more out of Omersa, though I think even... extreme positivity really just means you get a little bit more out of Omersa. But he might be a really solid defensive player and rebounder. And then you just need somebody who can score some points. But I'm a big fan of Conroy, so assuming he doesn't take a job somewhere else, I have some positivity that he'll develop a little bit of what we have going on.
Well, so speaking of that, I mean, Conroy was already rumored to be leaving, correct? I mean, it's not official.
There was one Doogie tweet that he was one of the favorites for the Samford job. Sounds like they have some other guys, and he might be more of the fallback option. So if I had to pick today, it sounds like he'll be back. But yes, he's in the conversation for that job.
And they are going to be hiring a new assistant coach, because turnover has already happened. Tom, you want to break that down for anybody who wasn't reading the blog this week?
Rob Jeter, who's been with us for 2 years. He was an assistant at UNLV briefly before that, and then prior to that, he was the coach at UW-Milwaukee for 11 years. Solid coach as a head coach. I thought it was great to have him on staff the last 2 years because he's just a guy that brings a ton of experience. He was the head coach in Milwaukee for 11 seasons, so he has a ton of relationships built in this region. I thought he was great to have on staff. He largely dealt with guards and some recruiting. So it's a blow that he's gone, for sure, but it's an opportunity to bring somebody else in that can maybe give us some recruiting leverage that we currently don't have, or just a different voice for the backcourt.
I mean, okay, there's been enough turnover and a little bit of roster and staff turmoil now where, you know, people were wondering if Pitino would have made it through this year. Obviously, pandemic kind of put that on hold. Gut feeling coming into, you know, way out in advance of the season. Andy, gut feeling on whether, you know, Pitino's able to maneuver through this and keep his job, or do we have a rough season and he's on his way packing?
I mean, yeah, I personally think if the Gophers don't make the NCAA tournament and they may even have to win a game, I think he's probably gone after next season. But the biggest thing that I think nobody can explain going forward is going to be the schools' financial situations. You know, the Big Ten schools, the Power Five schools will probably be okay, but let's just say there isn't a football season. I mean, that's looking way out and lots of stuff has to happen. And I'm not saying there isn't going to be a football season, but let's just say there isn't a football season. Every single big school is going to be hurting for money. And so then you got to look. And then I think Mark Coyle will have a really hard decision on his hands is, okay, if it's a mediocre season, do I have the financial means to fire him, buy him out, and hire somebody else? I don't know. So there's going to be a whole bunch of questions in the next, you know, 12 months going forward, I would assume. But, yeah, you know, I mean, looking forward, not having Oturu. So, you know, unless you get a really good grad transfer who surprises, you know, you're going to be struggling against some teams that have strong bigs in conference. It might not be smooth sailing, you know. But again, it's too early to tell on a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that can happen between now and the start of the season, much less now and the end of the season. But it's definitely going to be an interesting next 12 months for a lot of things going forward.
I mean, speaking of that, it's already an interesting time. I've been on work from home now for, I mean, officially this is the end of my second week. But with the way the week ahead of that had worked out, this is almost my third week of work from home. And stir crazy would be one way to describe where I'm ending up. How are you guys making it through? What are you doing to make it through this new world we live in?
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Hey, that's a good question. What did you guys grab for drinks tonight?
I grabbed a rye barrel aged stout from Central Waters that I've had. I've had the Bomber for a couple of years sitting downstairs. I finally decided to open it. How about you, Andy?
No, hold on. Thoughts about that one? I haven't had
it. Oh, it's good. I like this one a lot. I don't know. My palate sucks, so I just like, you know, generally I'm like good or not good. And this gets like two grunts good.
drinking Wisconsin beer, way to help Minnesota's economy, Tom.
Yeah, but Central Waters is so good.
You're not wrong.
Well, I am helping our state. I'm drinking a bourbon-barreled imperial stout called Vertical Contemplations from a little brewery called Junkyard up in Moorhead.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
So, yeah, no, it's this is the first time. I've wanted to drink quite a bit more in my 2 weeks at home, as I have four-year-old twins that make me want to drink a lot being home with
them. They're cute, though.
They're cute, but, oh, man, yeah. If I wasn't doing more work at night every night because I can't get a normal amount of work in during the day because they don't know what independent play means, I'd be drinking a lot more. But, yeah, no, it's a pretty tasty beer, and I am enjoying it.
I've actually not been home the last couple weeks. I've still been able to go into work, and there's hardly anybody in, so I've been going in because I would go crazy at home with three kids here.
My cat has wanted to eat more recently. Is that the same kind of problem that you're having, Andy?
Well, there is a lot more food consumption going on, that is true, but it's just more, imagine that your cat, and there were two of them, and neither one could leave you alone for more than 15 minutes over the course of a 10-hour day from, say, 6:30 in the morning until, okay, we'll say 11-hour day, 6:30 till 5:30. Imagine that you literally got 15 minutes at a time to work solidly before you had to pet your cat for 10 minutes.
I'm actually, what I'm picturing right now is you giving me that answer with both middle fingers in the air is really what I'm picturing. Well, maybe just one because you've got the beer in the other hand. But
I think I have a story that blends your two stories together.
Go for it.
About 2 years ago, my family was all gone for like a week. And we had three adult cats and there had been five kittens recently born. And so one day I'm working from home, the house is empty, and this is the one day when the kittens finally leave the room that they'd been in for however many weeks. And so they're all five cute little kittens that are kind of learning to go down the stairs and kind of falling a little. And then they see me sitting on the couch. And so, now mind you, there's eight cats here, which sounds crazy, because it was. And there are five kittens that were jumping up onto the couch and then walking on my keyboard, and I grab one and set it down, and another one's on my keyboard and I grab one. And finally, I'm going crazy trying to keep five kittens from affecting what I'm trying to do on my laptop before I had to go put them all in the room and lock them up. I think that's a good blend of like having toddler twins and, you know, cat problems while you're home all day, every day.
I also like how it blends the cuteness, because Andy's boys are adorable children. I know that comes from the person who visits and doesn't have to, you know, be primarily responsible for them. But I'm assuming you guys are watching stuff, since streaming is like the savior. I can't imagine making through this without Netflix and whatever they've got. I mean, a lot of old sports on TV now too, actually.
Yeah, I've been watching more old sports than streaming Netflix. I kind of caught up on all the shows I wanted to watch before this whole thing happened. But watching old sports has been a lot of fun for me. Particularly last week when I was watching the 97 NCAA tournament, the Gophers Sweet 16 double overtime game against Clemson and the win over UCLA to go to the Final Four. Those games were fun because that team was awesome.
God, that feels like forever and ever ago. I remember those games.
Right, but I think the three of us are the same age, right? At least for me, that was my freshman year of college. That was my prime, like, fandom days. And I watched every one of those games. I saw them play Iowa at the Barn that year. Iowa finished second in the Big Ten. I went to Kansas City for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament when they beat Southwest Texas State and Temple. And man, that team was so fun. Like, I knew every one of those guys, like their bio, where they're from, how they were recruited, all that stuff. And that was before, you know, the internet as we know it today.
You're just a touch. That's high school for Andy, okay, and I. Okay. But Yeah, that was, God, that was a fun run.
God, that was fun.
But it didn't happen, so I guess it wasn't fun. I don't know.
But it's still. One day this week, I'm going to rewatch the Outback Bowl game from this year, too. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Oh, do it. No, totally do it. I rewatched that like a month ago. Super enjoyable.
Yeah, actually, Gopher Sports did a live tweeting of that. It would have been, what, Saturday night or Sunday night on YouTube? They aired it on their Facebook page. And you may, if you follow our Twitter feed, I was watching that and may have tweeted out a couple of tweets. But, yeah, so that was the highlight of my stuff. I'd love to see, you know, I think it's an evolving situation because everybody's trying to figure out exactly what rights they have games to and things like that. So, like, I mean, I'd love to watch the Penn State game again, but apparently ESPN hasn't pulled that one out of their vault yet. So, I know KFAN aired the radio broadcast last weekend of that game, but it's just not quite the same as watching it on TV. Although the German version probably is still on YouTube, if you look, I suppose.
If either of you wants to watch that, I can, I have it still, I saved in my YouTube TV DVR.
Oh.
So.
But, no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. It's interesting with the rights partners what you see. So, like, you know, obviously for anybody who watches what I write about, I'm the hockey guy on the blog. And so a lot of the women's hockey games were produced by NCAA.com, and you can still watch live stream of those on the website. And so those stream for free. But the men's games are all owned by ESPN, Turner, et cetera, et cetera. So good luck trying to get release of any of those. Now, I mean, I've got the DVD of the 0-2 title game that I could watch, you know, things like that. But any of those classic games, they've been a little bit more sporadic at putting out, although we won't mention which game NCAA.com is streaming tomorrow night because we don't want people to, you know, already be in tough places to have to deal with something else. But
even I know which one they're playing tomorrow night.
Don't say it out loud. It gives it power.
But, but yeah, it's interesting to see that they obviously are doing a lot less of that, and it'd be nice to watch some of those games back, but, or like, you know, the classic, the full game of like the Final Five game where Wheeler won the game with the diving shot over North Dakota. I'd love to watch that game back, but those are all owned by Fox Sports North somewhere. So good luck being able to figure out who the hell's got the rights to air those or anything like that. But it is kind of cool seeing, you know, some of the older ones. You know, I'm as we're recording this Thursday night, watching the 2006 Sweet 16 game between UCLA and Gonzaga, and Adam Morrison and Aaron Aflalo and Luke Umba-Amute, and, you know, just sort of players that you watch those games religiously 14 years ago, and you haven't thought that much about them since then.
Yeah,
so
I've been loving that. So this is NCAA tournament time, right? So they're playing all these classic NCAA tournament games. And so Saturday, was it, CBS played the Houston NC State championship game? That was a blast to watch. I watched that whole thing. And now I've got like a list of all these classic games that I want to go back and watch. I want to see the 79 game of Indiana State, Michigan State, Bird Magic. I want to see the Loyola Marymount, Michigan game. The one where Hank Gatherton recently died and his teammate shot a free throw left-handed at the end of the game, but it was also a great game. That's on my list. Just watching these old games is so fun to watch these players that you totally forgot about, or guys that went on to be NBA stars, and it's fun to watch them in college.
I think what was interesting is that I haven't gotten to watch as much as you guys have because I've been sucked into, you know, things like Tiger King, which you really, I'm going to say it again, you should be watching.
I will watch tonight.
But there's nobody sane on that show or on that documentary. They're all fucking crazy. It's insane. But people were talking about how, you know, when they're showing the old broadcasts, they still have the live look-ins because, you know, the feed is the one feed. And it's hard to think about live look-ins because, of course, they do a little bit of that now. But when you have it, all the games airing live these days on four different channels, it's just like you would have an entire half of basketball that would switch to something else. And you'd have no say in the matter. And if you really didn't want to see the thing they switched to, you were kind of screwed. Other times, you were hoping they'd switch because you'd hear about it. Like, you could see the score update every once in a while, and you'd be like, no, switch to that game. That game is better.
Yeah, it's totally true. I was watching one. It might have been the Clemson Gopher game, or maybe it was some other random game I was watching, and they did the live look-in to go back to watch Utah-Stanford, and it was Keith Van Horn, Michael Doliak against Brevin Knight, and whoever else was on Stanford now. But yeah, and the other thing that really is annoying with these old games is they don't have the score up constantly. Right? They just put the score up periodically every couple minutes, but then you got to remember what the margin is.
The things that, you know, we'd take for granted that you would be able to do right. without thinking, and then now it's just like technology has eliminated and made it all happen for us, and we don't have to think about it anymore.
Right. Well, and it's just the things you completely forget. Speaking of the walk, as I'm watching this Gonzaga-UCLA game as we're recording right now, they brought into the end of the it was Texas and West Virginia, and it was Kevin Pitsnoggle nailing a three to tie Pitsnoggle. The game, and then Texas came back down and nailed a three at the buzzer to win. But then you look at it and you're like, wait a minute, that's Rick Barnes. But he's coaching West Virginia. And now, of course, Rick Barnes was the coach of Texas for a while before he got fired and Shaka took over. But it's like, wait a minute. What? You know, you just forget that these coaches have been like three or four different places and things
right,
like that,
same thing.
Too. I'm like, why isn't Rick Barnes happy? It's like, oh, that's because Rick Barnes is coaching West Virginia in this game, not Texas. That's why, you know.
Also, Rick Barnes was coaching that Clemson team in 97 that we beat.
Well, what I hate about that West Virginia game is it should have been a game where they could say that Texas got pitsnoggled and then it was taken away from us.
Yeah.
Such a great name, Pitsnoggle.
I remember watching that game live. That's one of my favorite NCAA tournament memories.
What's hilarious is I can remember the game that Andy's watching, the UCLA-Gonzaga game, only because that was on the off night, I was in Minneapolis to watch. That was the year Minneapolis hosted the regional in the Metrodome. And so I was in Minneapolis to watch games in the Metrodome, and that was the opposite night. So we were just out to dinner, and it was on TV. I remember like sitting down to eat dinner with the folks I was watching the game, was in town with, and that was the game that was just starting on TV. And I can – Applebee's on the U's campus, I think, almost positive. Totally random. Like, I shouldn't remember that, but that's how my brain works. All right. Well, I'm going to just put the third and final plug. Tiger King. If you want to watch a documentary about really, really crazy people who start what are essentially cults and have way too many wild animals and there's murder for hire involved, Netflix. It's absurd. And I strongly recommend the absurdity.
I'm here for absurdity.
Yeah, I think it's 7 episodes, so you know, carve out some time. I got through 3 last night and 3 tonight before we started recording. So I got one more to go.
Well, it's interesting what they can turn that into. So I remember probably 6 or 8 months ago reading the magazine article. I can't remember where it was, which magazine it was, but basically the article that I'm sure this documentary is based on. That they whoever's doing the documentary read this article, said, holy crap, we have to do a documentary on this. And so I know the backstory, I just haven't watched any of the episodes. But yeah, no, it's the same thing with the HBO just finished the McMillions one a week or two ago, yes. Too. And I remember reading the original article on that. I haven't watched any of the episodes of the documentary, but reading the article and the craziness that went down with that. And it's like,
I watched the first 2 or 3 episodes of that one. And then my HBO subscription ran out, which I will probably renew now that we're all stuck at home.
Well, so the weird thing, Andy, is that actually the documentary was in the works for about 5.5 years before that article was written. The documentary filmmaker was working on a story about people who trafficked in illegal and exotic reptiles, specifically very venomous snakes. And just while working in that part of that part of the animal underworld, so to speak, got kind of tipped off to like this dude who had all these tigers and was selling tigers. And he's like, well, I got to figure out what's going on, because he heard this dude who's just a crazy personality. And so he went out there, and this guy, Joe Exotic is his name, loved being on camera. And so he spent 5 years chronicling this whole story. There was a part where I thought he was using footage from something else and he'd paid for it, but you'll find out why that is not true. This guy was like seriously on this for 5 years, and this whole thing just gets crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. And he's there for it the entire time. It's nuts. It's, if I was this documentary filmmaker, I would just be, who put you in front of me? You're insane. And you all keep talking into my camera. Please don't stop. So that's my way too long plug for Netflix. I wish they were funding our podcast. They are not. Netflix, if you would like to sponsor us, I will definitely keep watching your documentaries.
Just before we go, just a little bit of breaking basketball news. Just to it just came across Twitter to tie in. He's not a Gopher, but he could have been a Gopher as we're talking about coaching failures. McKinley Wright. Champlin Park star, who could have been a Gopher, but Minnesota decided to take Isaiah Washington instead, has announced he is leaving Colorado and is entering the NBA draft.
That just came through tonight. I saw that on a ticker last night when I was watching whatever classic basketball game I was watching. But yeah,
what I'm sad about is that I thought you were going to break in with news from the Gonzaga UCLA game.
It is a 5-point game with a minute and a half left. So you know, Andy, we are getting down to the wire.
Let's go to Andy for a live look in.
Adam Morrison is getting ready to cry like a little baby.
That guy was so scruffy. I love that scruffy guy. He was annoying, but appropriate level of scruffy.
Now I'm listening without the. Who's the UCLA coach in this game? I'm forgetting.
Ben.
You're right. Howland. You're right. Thank you.
From Pitt.
Yes. Yeah.
We got him. The one that Tubby got fired.
Yes. Yes.
The same game that Tubby got fired. Actually, yeah. Both coaches got fired.
You're right. He's looking unhappy.
If I remember correctly, his demeanor was generally sourpuss, so seems on brand.
Yeah, makes sense. Although UCLA is about to make it a 3-point game with a minute 22 to go.
I wonder how it turns out. Have to see. Talk about it next week. So yeah, everybody stay safe, wash your hands, social distancing, stay home, and that way you can listen to this edition of the Sky Podcast and those to come in the future weeks. Until then, go Gophers. Sky Yuma. Row the boat.